Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had two posts on sportsmedrez.org, that's res.org. The first post described the position statement about nutrition and athletic performance that was released by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, Dietitians of Canada, and the American College of Sports Medicine. Our second post this week was about a study where the authors found that the functional movement screen poorly predicts injury within 6 months after an assessment. A score less than 14 may be a risk factor for injury, but more research may be needed. The authors of this study found that the mean functional movement screen scores for soldiers with overuse injuries, traumatic injuries, or any injury were lower than the mean functional movement screen scores in uninjured soldiers. Participants who had a functional movement screen score less than 14 were more likely to suffer an injury than those with higher scores. Using a functional movement screen score of 14, the authors found that it was a poor predictor of future injury because of a low sensitivity. While functional movement screen score is related to future injuries, it may not be a good clinical tool for identifying male soldiers at risk for an injury. The functional movement screen had relatively low ability to correctly identify soldiers who become injured, which limits its clinical applicability. Additionally, it takes a moderate amount of time to learn how to administer and interpret, as well as to actually conduct. Interestingly, scoring lower than 14 seems to be an injury risk factor. For example, a soldier with a lower score is approximately twice as likely to have an injury as a soldier with a higher score. However, the authors found that you could use various cut points ranging from 14 for any injury to 16 for traumatic injuries. Lower functional movement screen scores may be a little bit more accurate in predicting overuse injuries in comparison to traumatic injuries. It may be interesting to further classify injuries as contact or non-contact injuries instead of just traumatic to determine if the functional movement screen is better able to predict non-contact injuries. Ultimately, the functional movement screen score may relate to future injuries, but it does not seem to be a great predictor of new injury over the course of 6 months among male soldiers. The functional movement screen consists of 7 tests, and it may be that a couple of the components of the test could be modified or focused on certain pathologies. Further investigation may be needed to correctly identify at-risk individuals, determine an accurate cut point score, as well as target interventions for various reasons. In the meantime, clinicians should be cautious about relying on the functional movement screen to identify male soldiers at risk for an injury. This study sparked a good deal of discussion on social media this week. One commentator correctly noted that it is important to note that the functional movement screen was really not designed to predict injury, but merely to serve as to help us identify faulty movement patterns. Although another commentator questioned whether the functional movement screen could even do this. Obviously, there's a need for more research, but clinicians should note that the functional movement screen is not predictive, at least among male soldiers. But we also need to question ourselves about why are we looking for an injury prediction tool? If our goal is to identify an individual who's at high risk for an injury so that we can tailor a program for them, then we may want to consider whether or not we need to have the injury prediction tool if we already know who might be at high risk. For example, a person after their first ACL injury is more likely to have a subsequent one. So perhaps that's an individual that requires extra attention. Furthermore, there's a growing body of evidence to suggest that injury prevention programs that can be easily incorporated into a practice schedule may be a valuable way of reducing injuries. And in that case, do we really need to have an injury prediction tool if our goal is to really deploy injury prevention programs for the entire team? Now, one may argue that the injury prediction tool may give us somebody that needs more attention in our programs, but you would hope, especially at the higher levels, that the high-risk athletes are already getting tailored strength conditioning programs and extra attention. But even at the lower levels, you would hope that the injury prevention program is providing the verbal feedback to help improve their movement patterns. Now, don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. And this week, I'd like to give a brief shout out to AT Podcast, AT Vantage, and Sports Medicine Broadcast. If you haven't heard their podcast, then I recommend you check them out and keep an eye out for our Sports Medicine Broadcast that the four of us did together promoting athletic training for National Athletic Training Month. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.